All the sweetness without the bagasse. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Very good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman with you here, along with Ralph Boxcar Bergeron, my compadre, cohort, golfing partner, friend. Any other titles?
I don't think so. I think you covered everything, Ted.
Okay, very good. We're going to be talking golf. 367-1240 is our number if you want to talk to me or Boxcar about anything in the golf world. Give us a call. As we thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola, Lee Tadford, and the Coca-Cola Company out of Lafayette, with their office here in New Iberia, certainly thank them for all they do for Kane Radio. They sponsor a lot of other things besides our Chip Shots golf show. And also Tabasco, the McElhenney Company, that would be Mr. Cecil Emel and Miss Angie Sharbit for donating those beautiful golf shirts that Tabasco supplies us with to give out periodically here on Chip Shots. And also our golf clubs. Without them, we'd have no local golf news for certain. Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, Sugar Oaks, Atchafalaya, and our big sponsor, GolfBalls.com, located in Lafayette. And they're more than just a golf ball company, aren't they, Boxcar?
Oh, absolutely, Teddy. It's amazing to go back there, kind of behind the scenes, and see all the production work taking place. I mean, you know, although they have 20,000 square feet under roof, which makes them the largest golf retailer in not only Louisiana, but really all of the South, it's the internet sales that really drive that business. And
now, weren't they the innovators of that? Weren't they the first company that started doing that, selling golf balls and stuff over the internet?
Absolutely. And they grew it into, again, from very humble beginnings. I remember when they started off on Jefferson Terrace, and then they eventually moved out to the air base over there.
Right.
And then next thing you know, in Lafayette, and now, you know, it just took off. And kudos to them for being forward-thinking in a time when all of us were like, what's the internet, you know?
Except,
you know, the only person who really knew was Al Gore because he invented it, you know. But besides that, that's what he said.
Okay.
Whatever.
Let's not get into politics.
But besides that, you know, they really had a vision, a plan, a marketing plan, and executed it to perfection. And now, you know, easily the largest internet retailer of golf balls and you know, customization, personalization. You go back there, you just see dozens and dozens and dozens of logo balls just being stamped out. And their turnaround time is so fast. They have state-of-the-art equipment back there. Just a bunch. I mean, that's what you have to love about a local business like that. It's not only the you know, to see them doing well, but the jobs they create, you know, because,
right.
I mean, it's one thing to order personalized golf balls directly from Titleist or directly from, you know, wherever, okay? That money's going to, you know, a Cushnet, Massachusetts, where, you know, who knows where.
Exactly.
But this is local jobs these people have created. And you go back there and you just see a lot of people just, you know, and they work hard, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a constant, you know, thing. I mean, just constantly churning out orders. But that's a good thing to see. They're busy. They're hiring, you know.
That's good news.
Yeah, they're always looking for good people. And couldn't be prouder to have them part of Chip Shots.
You know, next time you get Brad to call in and talk to him about what's going on over there.
Or Andy,
either one. Well, Brad Peck was the one that.
But I haven't ever talked to Brad.
Okay, well, I said next time.
Okay.
Which
would be the first
time.
Yeah.
It could be the first time, but the next time.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just being picky.
I'm going to have to start calling you Big Mom.
No, really people enjoy our
talk over Big Mom.
They like our banter.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yes.
No, I would like you to ask them the question. Like, I'm kind of interested in what's the furthest place they have shipped or out of the way or weird places they have logoed balls and sent? You know, it would be interesting to know, like, do they do, like, you know, maybe England, Scotland, who knows?
Oh, absolutely. No. I mean, I know
that. No question?
Oh, yeah. They definitely do overseas all the time. Yeah.
I'd just be interested in knowing that.
Now, what I would be interested in knowing, and I'm not sure if we could say it on the air, but what's the most unusual thing they've printed on a golf ball? Because it's not censored. I mean, you can put whatever you want on there, you know. So
we've seen some weird things. Like, remember that golf ball I found with it was Huey's picture on it?
And
I thought it was Gil. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I wouldn't put a picture of somebody on a golf ball because
that's
like you hitting them every time. That's pretty weird. But no, I mean it's just amazing. You know, and so, in fact, I need to go there this week in the next couple of days because we have my grandson's christening coming up. Well, baptism.
Oh, he's playing with her Saturday.
Who?
Your grandson,
Eli.
I saw a lot of bantering going back on the text message.
Yeah, I need to talk to you.
Sound like just me and you playing.
Well, hopefully, if you can play with me at 7:40, because I need to. We have a little. I'll talk to you off the air about that.
Okay. But, I saw half of it.
And I think Cody might. I
had to turn my phone off.
Join us too. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I hate my group, but besides
that, you're part of them.
I'm part of them. Yes. Yeah, but I mean,
so
they're just they're just a pain. It's like a bunch of old women.
And I'm presuming that was Jerome because the number didn't come up as his cell phone.
No, I'll share with you off.
Sharing off there. Poor
off the air, yeah.
Poor listeners can't get in on our bantering.
But anyway, so besides the golf ball part and all that, I mean, really, it is a toy store for golfers. I mean, you go in there, you're going to find, it's true. I mean, you're going to find every club, and you know, like a lot of golf clubs, especially these days, won't stock, a full product line because it's, you know, the margins are tight and they'll special order stuff and all that. But they're going to have the clubs in-house. You can go hit them in their hitting bays, and they'll give you the right specs, the right fitting for you. There's no charge for that. The new Ping series is out. It's the 400 series, the Ping 400 series. And, it's customer service, and it's in-house club repair. They can do grips in there, adjust lofts and lies. If you need some reshafting work done, they do outsource that to John Joy at Le Triomphe, who's one of the top, 50 fitters and whatever. You know, I saw some kind of survey, but it's a turnaround time's real fast for that also for reshafting. So go by and see Andy Melanson. He's a retail manager, and tell him, you know, we sent you over there. I promise you, you're going to walk out a satisfied customer, and there's great people to do business with. They're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., and on Saturdays from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Very good. Now, of course, tomorrow is the first of the month, which means our Pro-Am is coming up this Thursday, and it's going to be held at Vermilion Oaks. It's still Vermilion Oaks, right?
It is, yes.
Looking forward to playing there, hopefully around 1 o'clock. And then down at Squirrel Run, Squirrel Run's offering a discounted membership for the first 6 months at $100 a month for the first 6 months. And that's a 30% savings on the normal dues price. And, you know, then after the 6 months, you're obligated. So it goes up to its regular price, which I think is around $130 or something.
I think the math is right, 30% off of that. Yeah.
So you add the 30. Dang, man, you passed math.
I mean, no, but you must. They made you go to school at LSU. Huh? You didn't play golf all the time. Huh?
Negative. I didn't go to school. I went to school at LSU, but not class, okay? And, of course, Squirrel Run has a full variety of driving range, putting green, all the amenities there. You can also book on golfnow.com and get your reduced rates from Squirrel Run and play at Squirrel Run. And then I was talking with Kevin and Jim this morning. Interesting little conversation. You know how I've always wanted to design a course where there was one hole, but it was a par 5, 4, and 3, depending which tee box and which area you play from. Kevin had the same idea for Plantation 1 and 2 since they're closed. He thought it would be a good idea to resurrect those two holes and have them, you know, do what we're talking about. Of course, mm-hmm. It'd be difficult to have a par 5, maybe number 2 Plantation. You could lengthen it enough to make it a par 5. But anyway, his idea was great. Be great for juniors. You could walk it. You know, the juniors get a really reduced rate and help promote golf. It could be practice holes. Like LSU's University Club has 3 practice holes.
Right.
You know? And he also had the idea of having Down syndrome kids come and play and learn the game of golf and, you know, just do it as a field trip. So
yeah, well, I mean, Cameron is a great example of that. Yes. But you know, I'll bet you any money that if they would explore the options that the first tee could possibly donate, you know, have a grant for something like that. Because, again, I mean, there's
I'll have to check into that. I'm going to have to do
that. There's just no opportunities for junior golfers to have a place to learn the game. And what a right. great thing. Now, if they could do three holes, that would be even better because you could do a 5-4-3, 5-4-3, 5-4-3. Mm-hmm. You got 9 holes in 3 holes, and then you can play it again and play 18 holes in a 3-hole, you know, patch. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, they've got those 2 par 5s on, you know, on the other side, and then the par 3.
And a par 5 is so easy to make that into
anything.
Right.
You know?
But
lengthy hole, so
yeah,
that would be,
and it's not a whole lot, you know, to upkeep. I mean,
and those three holes are really located close to each other,
together, right?
You could walk them. Is the thing is, you know, to get kids not to have to drive a cart, which
legally, so. Right? Yeah, you know, but no, I mean, it's anything to grow the game and to have access. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not, it's, you know, I drive by Teddy very often by the old driving range.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's a yoga studio. I mean, this is really? Not, this is so ridiculous. It's this beautiful property. It's there. You know, that's why it was dedicated for that, you know, purpose. And
it was,
you know,
donated.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a shame, really.
It really is. You know,
I've always wanted to go into the high schools and teach, you know, like beginning golf, you know,
right.
For as a class, a curriculum in the curriculum. I mean, you could do it in the gym with wiffle balls and just teach the basic fundamentals, you know, grip, stance, setup, mm-hmm. posture, and hit balls off of a mat. But I don't know.
Well, they need.
I'm a little old for that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's other people that could take that idea and go with it, you know, because I mean the thing about it, again, you know, it just frustrates me so much to see a town the size of New Iberia, and with a 5A school and a 4A school, and of course, you know, Catholic High is still doing okay, but you can't field a golf team at a 5A school. You can't get 5 people in a whole school that can, you know.
That's
why I would
want to go promote
it. No matter
it,
you know, how bad they are or whatever, you know, it's just, it's a shame that's a sport that's just non-existent, basically, you know.
And it goes back to the PGA pros, but you know, Jim and I were talking as well, you know, years ago that we had PGA golf pros at the clubs around here. You know, I was at Sugar Oaks,
yeah.
Doug was at Squirrel Run, Mark Pop at Spanish Trail, you know, and now nothing,
yeah.
You know, no more PGA golf pros, no more promotion from the professionals side of the standpoint. So it's really our fault, you know, as the PGA golf professionals, not to promote it. So.
No, but even the actual PGA golf professional itself is becoming somewhat of an endangered species.
It is.
But no, I think that's a great idea. And I mean, the thing is, I know, and I don't know, you know, the history of Westgate, but I know Mr. Pichaloup at Senior High is very passionate about the game and would be, you know, all for any kind of way to try to, you know, to grow it and encourage it, you know. And if it, but we just don't, you know, think about it. We saw, and that's, again, props to Courtney at Le Triomphe for mm-hmm. this U.S. Junior Kids thing. Because, you know, but again, I think most of those kids are headed toward parochial schools and private schools, you know.
Yeah,
so,
but she's doing her part.
But she's doing her part to at least, right, give them access, grow the game, learn the game, mm-hmm. Giving them some fun. Yeah, and you got to make it fun, you know, fun for the kids, too. I mean, it's got to be. You know, their attention span's not what it used to be, and, you know, you got to make it fun. But
absolutely.
I mean, that's a whole other thing, but that's a great idea. I hope they can.
Kevin,
you know,
had it, in fact, he had it designed out on a score sheet. You know, he had drawn the holes, not to scale, but, you know, you could tell where the traps were, where the lakes were and stuff. And, yeah, it's an awesome idea.
I mean
it's like I said, it's been a dream of mine to design a hole because it would take so little land. You could do 18 holes and it takes so little land and it'd be like a walking course where you wouldn't have to rent a cart and be, you know, to help grassroots golf begin.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, you know, again, getting way back, but I mean, people who remember the old Iberia,
mm-hmm.
to me, that was just the perfect course to learn golf because, you know, it was just two sets of tee boxes. They didn't play totally different, but it had some, you know, some holes were a little different from the two tee boxes. But that's the easiest course I could ever imagine walking. I mean, it was just ridiculously easy, you know. And
you know, we used to when I was a kid growing up, and it was like on a Monday when it was basically closed, we used to play different crazy games. Like we'd play from one tee box to a different hole green,
yeah,
you know. And
yeah.
I mean, it would you'd get a whole different perspective of, you know, the golf course.
Yeah.
All right, moving along then. Squirrel Run, they're resurrecting or trying to get started. Jimmy Picard was a great member at Squirrel Run and a beloved member, had a large following and passed away a couple of years ago unexpectedly, and they're trying to get up a golf tournament in his honor, and it's the Jimmy Picard Invitational. It's going to be in October. I think it's going to be – it's scheduled originally for the open date, which is the 27th, 28th weekend when LSU is open as an open date.
Good idea there.
Well, yes, I'm afraid. LSU rules.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, hunting and football are pretty prime in October.
You're right.
September and October. But it's going to be a two-man team. Looks like a practice round on Friday. Day one is going to be a two-man scramble. Day two is going to be a full ball. And what's going to be interesting is they're going to have a daily players pool, which the guys that played with Jimmy know they love to gamble and bet, and so a daily players pool is going to suffice for that skins game as well. And
now it's how many teams?
Well, they're trying to get 128 players, two man team, 64 teams.
64 teams, yeah. And four flights.
Something like
in
that.
In Calcutta or just players?
No,
pool?
No, players pool. You know, which is a lot easier to run. You know,
yeah.
You just bet on your team, put up a certain amount, $20 or whatever it is, and however they're going to determine who wins it. You know, if it's just one day, right? So
yeah,
it'd be fun, and I know it's going to attract a lot of good players because Jimmy was a good player. And then down at Spanish Trail, they're supposedly having their club championship on the 26th and 27th, 36-hole medal play event, $45. But that's the weekend of the that Big Jennings tournament where a ton of people from Iberia Parish.
I'm going there.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
Baytown
go as well,
showdown,
don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're contemplating moving it because they would lose a whole bunch of their members as well go to that tournament. So that's forthcoming whether or not they do that. And they're also planning on having a ladies and a seniors flight. So, and then Tuesday, August the 8th at Spanish Trail is ladies area play, kind of similar to our pro-am where they move around from club to club on a monthly basis. It's always the first Tuesday of the month, or rather the second Tuesday of the month. And the entry fee is $30 and then $10 for non-members extra. 9 o'clock shotgun start. Then some great shots at Spanish Trail on Saturday. George Miller eagled number 10. And then listen to this. Jacques Poirier was playing like a little tournament like we want to do, alternate shot, best ball, scramble. On 17, they were in the alternate shot format, and he made a hole-in-one. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Jacques Poirier, ace on number 17. And let's see what else at Spanish Trail. Well, let's move on to Sugar Oaks. Their Lauraville Tiger Backers are having their fifth annual golf tournament on Saturday, August the 19th at Sugar Oaks. Three-man scramble, $375 per team, and it's an 8 o'clock shotgun start. And, man, they got a lot of other stuff going along with it. They're going to have some kind of extravaganza and a party on at the Harold Landry Building after the tournament, 7 p.m., with music by Sideshow and others. So more than one performance there. Door prizes, food and beverage, cash bar. And with the $75 per couple, you get free beer and wine. Quite a deal there. Also at Sugar Oaks, their latest Twilight Scramble was held. And first place went to Paul Ladouceur and Braden Landry. They were minus two. Second place, Jimmy Rogers and Kevin Joseph. They tied, but the tiebreaker hole was number eight. So third place went to Jim Frith and Davis Dotrill. And the Gator Golf Club, thanks to Boyd Booty for bringing me these results. This is the first to go over. The Chaffalai was a makeup.
Right,
was last week. So I'll briefly go over that. They were Jim Welch won the first flight with plus +7. Elvis Babineau Jr. won the second flight with plus +3. And here's the sideline story about Elvis. He cut his arm with a chainsaw pretty severely. So he won't be playing for a while. Third flight went to Ted Sellers along with Tony Viator. They tied. And then a three-way tie in the fourth flight, Mitch Gaspar, Boyd Booty, and Bro Provo. And then the last one played at the Bluffs in St. Francisville on Saturday when we got rained out. They got a little rain but no lightning, and they kind of waited and moved along and played through it. So they got in the event, and obviously a beautiful golf course, the Bluffs. And the first flight winner, with to show you how hard the course was, -1 was a tie between Tom Grimsley and David Mesh. Usually they are all plus +8s, +9s, and +10s, but now they're minus. Second flight, Tim Wu plus +6. Third flight went to Kent Kern with plus +4. And then Boyd won the fourth flight with plus +5. He said he had an outstanding round of 78, 30 points he made. So thanks, Boyd, for getting me this information, and good luck to Elvis on his recovery from that terrible accident. And then yes, we got to talk about poor old Mike Heinen, our own UL golfer playing in the Senior British Open, finished dead last with a score of 83-96. But just to get to go to that, I'm sure it was a treat and an honor, and I don't think he'd change it or trade it in for the world. Now, well, I didn't mention that. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. This is totally off wall. Go ahead.
This is off, too. I just wanted to mention, Hootie Johnson, remember the old CEO of Augusta National, died last week, and we didn't announce it. I mean, you know, I wanted to announce it.
I didn't know.
South Carolina banker. He was the one that was instrumental in turning away those ladies when they were protesting 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, it was more than that, huh?
I don't know. Yeah. I lose track of time.
Yeah.
He's the one that said, you know, we'll just sponsor this tournament ourselves. We don't need sponsors. Mm-hmm. Did it for 2 years, too.
I know, he sure did. Yep, so, absolutely.
He gone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Hootie.
Well, I just wanted to drop this because it's the first time I've ever heard of a tournament like this, and I thought it was a great idea. I happened to go to Le Triomphe today. It was on business, and went in the locker room, and I saw this flyer, Teddy, and I have to share this because it could be something that maybe some of the local golf courses might think about doing in the future. But it's their inaugural Fins and Skins. It's a trout and redfish tournament combined with a golf tournament, and it's happening actually this weekend. It's a Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's the fishing tournament. Sunday's the 18 holes of golf tournament. It's a four-person team. You have to have one Le Triomphe member per team. And it's only actually $240 per team, which includes fishing, golf, and dinner, plus cart fees. So that's only $60 a player to play Le Triomphe, which to begin with is really cheap, okay? So what they do is they go fishing on Saturday. It's a speckled trout, and they call them rat red redfish. So they have to be between 16 and 27 inches. So it's not going to be a huge redfish, and 16 is the smallest that you can catch. They weigh your top 5 trout and top 5 redfish for your team score. They give you 1 point per pound of fish caught, and that's added to your golf point total. And then they handicap the formats: 20% of your A player, 15% of your B player, 10% of your C player, and 5% of your D player. And they have the points assigned, which this is bizarre, but it's a net quadruple or higher is -8 if a four-person team makes a net. I mean, if -8, that's pretty bad. Then -4, -2, pars, +1, play, and so on. And so here's the scoring example. And Team A weighs 20 pounds of fish. Team A shoots 72 in their scramble, making a par in every hole. A par is worth 1 point per hole. Team A would have 18 points for their golf score, and 20 pounds of fish would give them 20 points because it's 1 point per pound, so their score would be 38 points. So they're going to have a weigh that you can go fishing Saturday. They weigh the fish in Sunday at Le Triomphe, and you play 12 o'clock shotgun start on Sunday, And then afterwards, they have the award ceremony and a fish fry, interestingly enough, from, I guess, the fish they caught, you know. But I thought that was because so many people love to fish over here, you know, and combine that with golf. And, you know, we were talking about that today at Le Triomphe, you know, and it, of course, the economy's impacted their membership as well. It's getting creative, you know, and thinking outside the box and ways to have tournaments and you know, bring some people to the golf course, you know. And it's not often you'd have a chance to play there for $60, you know, to begin with. But I thought that was pretty cool.
It is. I wouldn't want those six kids that were following us around at Square Run on Sunday because they didn't catch any fish.
Well, and I never saw them.
I saw them. They followed us around for three holes.
Yeah. But I mean, but you
said to yell at them.
This redfish and trout, so you can go out to Vermilion Bay. And I was just thinking, you know, I said, man, this would have been awesome. You know, me, Roy, you, and Nick, because they love to fish. They had nowhere to go catch fish. We could go with them.
You don't want me going alone.
Well, sure. I mean, where they go, all they have to do is put the line in the water. The fish jump in the boat.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to do anything. I promise you. But that would have been a lot of fun. But, of course, I'm doing my baptism this weekend. So not my baptism.
So you're going fishing. You're going to dunk your grandson.
Well, not
me. Pull him up.
Deacon Van Cleve, hopefully.
Better be a good fisherman.
Yeah, well, I think he is. He has a lot of experience with water dogs, that's for sure, with Labradors.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, I just wanted to share that tournament news.
Like Le Triomphe, you going to get him the sponsor chip shots now that you're putting all these plugs in for him?
Well, I might talk to him.
I think you
should. The head person that in charge of that was out today, so I was just dealing with you know, office personnel, but because Monday's their day off. I saw him twice, but I was really on a tight schedule, so I didn't go approach him. But our buddy Dean Bayham was faithfully on that mower, man. He was on number 18 and, you know,
cutting grass,
yeah. Man, doing what he loves.
Needs to play golf with us.
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to talk about a little national golf news coming up next on Chip Shots.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
TheGolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
In the shadows of the Tesh, Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Slime and Ralph Boxcar Bergeron on the air here. Talking golf, 367-1240 is our number if you want to call and talk a little golf as we turn our attention now to the national golf scene on the PGA Tour. Didn't realize this, but the Canadian Open was held this weekend. Boxcar, the third oldest golf tournament on planet Earth. And, of course, I know you can guess the first two. You know, the Open Championship was played way back when. But the United States Open is the second oldest, 1904. And the Canadian Open is the third oldest golf tournament, and only Tiger Woods and Lee Trevino have won all three of those championships in the same year, which is a pretty big feat to win the National Open in Canada, United States, and Great Britain. And sad enough to say, a little history on the Canadian Open, Jack Nicklaus has never won it. He was a runner-up seven times, and cool. It's the only blemish on his scorecard, if you will. And it's also the site of Arnold Palmer's very first win in 1955. So a lot of history there. And Johnny Vegas made history as well.
But wasn't Palmer the designer of Glen Abbey or not?
No, Jack Nicklaus was.
I mean, Jack Nicklaus, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
I'm
Arnold
sorry.
Palmer won his first tournament there in 1955.
Yeah, no, Jack Nicklaus, I'm sorry.
Jack Nicklaus
absolutely.
Never won the Canadian Open.
That's amazing, huh?
Isn't it? And seven times second. You
Runner
know, he
up,
feels
yeah.
like Phil Mickelson with the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
But Johnny Vegas defended his title.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing. You know, entering the RBC Canadian Open, he had missed, and we talked about this earlier, I mean, and we kind of seen this happen a few times now, where players have just been playing horribly, and all of a sudden, one week they catch fire, and boom, you know, and he had missed five consecutive cuts, eight of his last 10, and had failed to break 70 in his last eight rounds. Now, you know how bad that is for a PGA Tour player? That's really bad.
Yeah, in the bottom
and,
of the
but it said all it took was to reverse his fortunes was to return to his trusty Mizuno MP4 irons, which had similar specs to the Nike set that he used last year to win at Glen Abbey. And, of course, you know, Nike has gone out of business, and I guess he probably went to another brand after that. But he put the Mizunos back in the bag, and I also heard he had the lofts and lies adjusted on him. But over 4 days, he ranked seventh in strokes gained approach to green, which was by far his best performance of the season. To quote him, he said, "My ball striking was great this week, which is something that I've been struggling with the past few weeks. I feel like I hit a lot of greens and gave myself a lot of opportunities." And, of course, he ended up winning in a playoff. He had the shot of the championship in the playoff when his drive found the left fairway bunker over the par 5 18th. With 189 yards to the flag over water, all the TV commentators thought he'd lay up and try to make birdie with a wedge. Instead, he smashed an 8-iron. His shot clipped the lip of the bunker and somehow landed in the middle of the green, leading to an easy 4 and the victory. He went on to say, obviously, a little bit of luck. The ball could have gone anywhere from there, but sometimes you have to be aggressive. And when you're that aggressive, sometimes things go your way.
That's the same hole that that Tiger Woods hit it out of that bunker a foot from the cup with a 6-iron. Remember
Yes.
That famous shot.
That's one of the best shots
ever.
I've ever seen him, for sure. I mean, he's hit spectacular shots, but that was it.
Yeah.
That was an amazing shot.
One of them, yeah.
But, I mean, just to get into the playoff, I was watching it actually, and Charlie Hoffman had a very identical thing happen on the 18th hole when he was in the right bunker, and his fairway bunker shot also caught the grass, you know, coming out of there and deflected about 10 feet behind the hole, and he just barely missed the eagle putt, you know. So he's been playing really well
Charlie
late.
Hoffman
is, yeah. And the question is, you know, has he played good enough to be a President's Cup team member? It went on to say he made himself a more attractive candidate with the playoff loss, but at number 10 in the point standings, he likely hasn't done enough yet. Hoffman himself said so last year when the idea of playing on his first Ryder Cup team was raised. He said, "A rookie at 39, and he's 40 now, is not going to be a captain's pick. So I've got to play my way onto any team, and I've got to play good golf and prove to everybody on that team that I can play and help the team out." And the sad thing is, I think he really would be a great teammate. It looks like he's a fun-loving guy. Always smiling, you know, has a good attitude.
Back to Johnny Vegas, you know, you were saying how he's in a slump coming into this tournament. It's funny how certain golf courses match up with a player, and it turns his game around. You
Absolutely.
Know, all of a sudden, just because he loves that golf course, it fits his eye or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and look, my experiences are extremely limited because, I've only played a handful of golf courses. But even in our little pro-am rotation, there are certain courses when we go there, I'm anxious to go play that course because it suits my eye. I feel like I'm going to score well there. The holes aren't, you know, overly long, you know, which is the biggest thing that I face these days, you know, distance challenged, you know, especially in par threes. You know, give me a course that has a couple of short par threes and a couple of medium length, and don't give me a 200 and something yard, 180,
right, yeah.
190.
I mean,
it
makes a world of difference.
It's so psychological, you know. And that's why I'm looking forward to Abbeville. It's a little course that, and I don't always play well there, but I feel like teeing it up I have a chance to shoot a good score before, right, you know, go out there. Now, I may screw it up, you know, and it's very easy to do so sometimes out there. But it just it's just one of those, and I like Crowley a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are some other courses, you know, that it just doesn't – you know, I'm like, okay, there's no way I can make my points out here.
You're already in a negative mood before you tee it up. And that's the same case for, even for these players, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like Lee Trevino, he couldn't stand going to Augusta because you got to hit a high draw.
Right.
And he hit a low fade. So
yeah, well, that's like how – you know, and Hal Sutton was the best player in the world, for to me, in my opinion, for a couple of years. Hal Sutton never had a chance at Augusta because he hit a low cut. I mean, he hit, you know, just couldn't get the ball off the ground. He never could hit a draw.
Right.
And his cuts were so low, so he never had a chance. He never came close to making anything at Augusta, you know. So, yeah, it is amazing. And we see that, you know, year after year with these, you know, experienced players, you know, who you know, I guarantee you next year Bernhard Langer is going to play well at Augusta. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, he's timeless to begin with.
He's playing good now, I tell you. Speaking of that, he won the senior British Open.
Yeah.
Third this year, third major this year, tying Jack Nicklaus in that feat, but surpassing him because he has 10 now.
Yeah.
Five of the last 10 he's won, five since he's 58 years old. It's he's, like you said, timeless. The guy keeps on moving up, you know, and challengers are few and far between. You know, the younger guys can't seem to put that much pressure on him, on that old guy, because he's older than most of them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and the one who I think, I'm not saying he could, but maybe could, would be Vijay, and he don't play the senior tour,
right?
You know, so he's still playing. He's still probably
scared because he can't beat Bernhard.
He's like, okay, I can make more just coming out of the top 10 anyway, you know, than finishing second to it.
But, which leads me to a question. You know, they've been bickering back and forth, the media has, about anchoring. And Bernhard Langer's game changed around from his PGA Tour days to the Champions Tour days because of the long putter. So
yeah.
What's your feelings on all that commotion?
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I have some questions for you here.
Yeah, and I heard that argument made, and there's been some questions about whether he still technically is anchoring and kind of disguising it, so to speak, you know, by wearing loose-fitting clothing, and this is all kind of conspiracy theories, you know. I would love to see just a maximum cap. Just say, okay, the longest a putter can be is 40 inches. Okay, mm-hmm. So that'll mean there's no, you know, unless you Ian Woosnam, maybe you anchor at 40 inches, or Teddy Sliman.
Yeah.
But no.
You're a funny boy.
But, you know, something like that I could see.
That might be a good proposal.
You know, I mean, that way it takes good all time. That, you know, out of play, you know, because, I mean.
It's just a shame that, you know, a great career like this guy is having is being
marred,
tainted
by
the media
and
whatever.
Yeah.
And the other point I want to make on the senior open is I felt so bad for Peter Lonar. He and Corey Pavin were in the last group, and they were tied for the lead. It's a par five. He hits the green in two and has about a 20-foot eagle putt. Corey Pavin, short as he is, you know,
right,
hits his wedge up there about 22 feet on the exact same line. Don't you know he drains the 22-footer for birdie?
Uh-huh.
Peter Lonar four-putted.
Oh,
I mean, three-putted.
Gosh.
To not get second.
Oh,
man. And he had a short one that he missed. Made us think about, you know, the putts we give each other. He absolutely choked. I mean, the putt was no longer than 18 inches, and he didn't even hit the hole. Anyway.
Well, but it was good to see, and I didn't see the end of it. I watched a little bit of Squirrel Run with y'all when we finished our round.
Mm-hmm.
But it is encouraging to see a guy like Corey Pavin still compete against, you know, I mean, I guarantee you, in our Saturday or Sunday game, we could keep up with Corey Pavin.
Oh, I believe
you know,
so.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
He
you
wouldn't
know?
Hit it. No.
No, I mean, but he still can put the ball in the hole, which is the, you know, the key to it in the end, you know. So I was glad to see him, you know, have that good finish. You know, I mean, yeah, Peter Lonar's been a journeyman, you know, for a long, long time, a grinder, and, you know, one time on the PGA Tour. I know he played the Le Triomphe a few years back and getting ready for the Senior Tour and played just terribly. I mean, he was bad. But, you know, you never know.
Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back with news from Rory McIlroy. I want you to check on that story.
I just want to just one more those two quick footnote to the Canadian Open, that Ian Poulter tied for third, and that was his second top three finish of the tour this season after almost losing his status. For sure, you know.
Yeah, he's been playing well.
So he didn't qualify for the Firestone this week, but anyway, he's played 5 weeks in a row, so he probably needs a break. But you know,
all right, heat up that Rory story, and we're gonna get back with you in a bit.
Okay.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice cold Coca Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf that the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
Hi, I'm Corey Avery, co-owner of R&R Glassworks. We specialize in auto and truck glass repair and replacement, window motors, and frameless shower doors. We also handle plexiglass and storefront repair and replacement. Give us a call at 365-9311 or come by and see us at 1006D 20 Arpit Road in New Iberia. So for all your glass needs, remember R&R Glassworks. Thank you and God bless.
Sweet as Louisiana Pure Cane Sugar. We're Cane Radio. AM 1240.
All right, welcome back to Chip Shots, Steady Slime, and Ralph Boxcar. Bergeron with you here, 367-1240 is our number. We talk about Rory and the amazing news that happened to him this past weekend.
Yeah, Teddy, this is the second big caddy split up this year, coming on the heels of Phil and Bones McKay parting ways. Rory McIlroy, according to reports from Reuters news agency, has fired longtime caddy J.P. Fitzgerald. With Fitzgerald on the bag the last 9 years, the 20-year-old McIlroy has won each of his four majors and rose to number one in the world rankings. Just 2 weeks ago, McIlroy credited Fitzgerald for his recovery from a disastrous start of the Open Championship when he caught it a 5-over par on the front nine, got a little butt-chewing from J.P. Fitzgerald, and then played the final 63 holes in 10-under, to finish tie for fourth, but he's expected to have a new caddy this week at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone Country Club, and there's no word on who that new caddy might be, but it's not extremely surprising in that Fitzgerald was occasionally tagged as a poor fit for McIlroy. The perception began as early as 2011 when McIlroy carried a 4-shot lead into the final round of the Masters, imploded on the back nine, and Fitzgerald appeared to do little to pull him out of the funk. The BBC's Jay Townsend, a former European Tour player, suggested that McIlroy should hire a more reputable caddy like Steve Williams, and McIlroy defended JP on Twitter and then elaborated. He said, quote, "I've got to stand up for my caddy. JP's one of my closest friends. I've had to deal with it for 3 years and not really say anything, and he's just kept at him and at him. I just had to say something," McIlroy said at the time. So,
all right. Well, I got a question or two for you.
Go ahead.
You know, concerning that, I mean, like, we've talked about it many, many times, but, you know, a caddy and a player spend, you know, maybe 6 hours a day together, you know, alone together, really, you know, more so probably than you spend with your wife or your significant other or anything, you know. So how important, you know, is a breakup like that? And then the second question is related to Rory, but kind of off the wall, is who's going to win the Grand Slam first, Rory or Jordan?
Jordan.
God, you said Jordan fast.
Yeah.
Well, he does have the opportunity to do it first.
Well, no, I just think he will. I just think he's mentally tougher. I'm not saying, I mean, I think Rory's a better player, you know, better, or has the potential to be a better player.
Exactly.
The tools, you know, the swing,
sure.
The, you know, but
the shots,
but
the swing,
mentally Jordan's at, on another level. And
so then back to the other question, why did Rory do this? I mean, at this time of the year, you know, it's kind of peculiar, right before the PGA, right before the FedEx Cup.
You know, it had to be something. Again, you know, I mean, the Phil Bones, I think, has a lot deeper. I think something is there was more physical than the relationship. You know, either Bones wasn't healed from his hip surgery, and he said, "Look, Phil, I just can't carry this bag. I can't do this right now."
And Phil's at the end of his career as well.
Right, right.
And Bones is doing a heck of a job as a commentator.
Exactly.
He brings a different perspective to that aspect of broadcasting golf, and I like it.
Yeah. But, you know, I just don't know what, you know, why right now. You're right. It's the timing's odd, but, I mean, unless Rory thinks that, you know, something must have trans. I mean, he. But what's weird is he gave credit to him for the U.S. Open finish, you know, and then all of a sudden now he's fired. So, but does Rory think, well, with someone else I can make a run at the PGA or win? You know, $10 million is not, you know, chicken feed in the FedEx Cup, you know. So, but you know, I was reading that it was interesting because Fitzgerald had caddied for Paul McGinley and Darren Clark, and even though he's been on the bag for all four of McIlroy's major wins, one unnamed observer was quoted as saying, how often do you see him and Fitzgerald looking at each other in shock after his ball has finished 20 yards over the back? If you hear him on the course, you often hear Rory asking, what happened there? More than once I've heard JP saying something like, okay, hit a soft draw with a 6-iron off that tree, and I thought immediately that ball's going way over the green, and sure enough, it does. So you have a lot of, you know, so-called experts, you know, questioning the caddying ability of J.P. Fitzgerald. And maybe it was just a thing where it was just so close of a friend, he needed to do a long time ago, but he just kept hanging on.
Yeah, and you see if there's that friction between them, even though they're friends, that's a problem. I mean, like, consider Jordan Spieth and Mike Grillo. That's a totally different relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Grillo's much older, you know, and Jordan Spieth, like, looks up to him in a mentor situation type thing. And, I mean, you know, it's an important relationship to me that could just for the fact that they're spending so much time together, they have to get along. You know, it's really a marriage, you know, in a sense, because – absolutely 6 hours a day is a minimum any of those guys spend with each other on you know, practice rounds and tournament rounds. They practice in before and after. They're consulting with their caddy. It's an important relationship, and if it's not clicking, it's got to hurt you.
Yeah, and you know, this anonymous source went on to quote also some more quotes, which I think, you know, add some more insight into it. He says, Rory needs someone to tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear.
Exactly.
Why he doesn't employ Billy Foster is a mystery. Rory would have 10 majors by now if he did. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. But,
yeah, I don't know about that.
But then it went on to say, of course, we know what Rory's like. He's as stubborn as anyone on tour. The more people tell him that JP's not right for him, the more he'll keep him on. So, but apparently, you know, he listened to somebody at some point in time, and whether that be his, you know, manager or whatever, he decided to. And, right. And maybe, you know, the timing, although we find it curious, maybe it actually makes sense, because you don't want to do something like this in the off season and then tee it up for the first event of next year with a brand new caddy. You have to get some transitional time to get used to each other, you know. So,
for sure.
Again, you know, look, the one thing Rory's not doing is going to apply for food stamps or unemployment. You know, he's not hurting for money. So even though this might be a disappointing year for him, I mean, he's still going to be fine.
He can still salvage it. We're going to take our last break, and then we'll be back to wrap it up on Chip Shot. Stay tuned.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
Louisiana's own, Louisiana's gold. Kane Radio, AM 1240. I'm
all right. Nobody but about me. All right, welcome back to Chip Shots. 367-1240 is our number. Teddy and Boxcar with you here. Last segment of golf. Talking golf. Boxcar, what's new? What's happening?
Well, another rule snafu, Teddy, and this one has a lot of ugly, you know, innuendos to it, mm-hmm. but happened at the U.S. Girls Junior this past weekend. Elizabeth Moon seemed on the verge of winning her semifinal match against highly ranked Erica Shepherd as she lined up her 4-foot birdie putt on the 19th hole, but she missed the putt low, leaving herself about a 6-inch putt for par. She stared in disbelief for a second, raked the ball back to try again, never turning around to face her opponent. Standing on the side of the green, Shepherd's caddy and swing coach, Brett Nicholson, asked, "Did you give her that putt?" Shepherd had not, and she told Moon, "I didn't say that was good." That meant that Moon had violated Rule 18-2, moving a ball in play, and Shepherd was declared the winner. And went on in tears afterwards. Shepherd explained that she would have conceded the putt, but her eyes were closed during the birdie attempt. By the time she opened them, Moon had already pulled her ball back. But the excuse doesn't hold up for two reasons. TV cameras showed her staring at the ball as it passed by the cup, and it only takes a half a second to say good. So even if Moon was way too quick to rake, there was plenty of time to concede. But more concerning was the actions of Nicholson, the coach caddy. Instead of letting Moon's blunders go on as a mindless moment from a 17-year-old, he saw an opportunity and pounced, alerting his player to an infraction and a win. So,
okay, so my question here, another rule snafu, there had been two or three this year, you know, with the spotting of the ball. That was Lexi Thompson and also John Rahm, you know, accusing them of being indiscreet. And, of course, you know, the long rules last week with Jordan Spieth, the week before last. You know, I mean, nothing indiscreet about that. It was just it took a long time, blah, blah, blah. So my big question is this a bad, ugly eye for the game of golf? Should the rules be tweaked, changed, or what are people thinking when they see stuff like this happening with the game of golf and the integrity golf brings, you know, to the sport?
Yeah, I just think maybe, I think it's only a black eye for the hardcore golfers. Most people are going to look at this story and not give a, you know, and you know what. I mean, now, if it had been a rules infraction in an NFL game or something like that, you know, right, it's a lot bigger stage. But the series of rules, for those who follow golf. But again, my big problem with this, two points. I mean, number one, that coach, like this article said, I mean, he could have gently, like, after they went to the next hole, next playoff hole, just said, look, you know, that really wasn't conceded. You need to remember that. Kind of gently reminded this kid, okay, mm-hmm. It's still a kid. But, again, my whole thing is there's a rules official with each group, basically, you know. Why doesn't that person take control? You know, and just say, do you concede that? Yes or no? You know, just ask it out loud. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and it shows the fact that a 16-year-old kid doesn't know the rules of golf as explicitly as they need to.
But we saw that happen in the ladies in an LPG the match play. Remember when the girl walked off in tears after? I forgot that was like 2 years ago when it was with. Oh gosh, the big Swedish girl and
I can't remember. But
Annika, not Nordstrom. But anyway, it was a similar thing where she didn't concede the putt, but she never said,
right?
You know, it's good, but she never said.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and the other girl, you know, picked up her ball, and the next thing you know, she loses the hole, and she's just, you know, breaks down. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's enough officials around there. Why can't you just say? Do you concede that? I mean, they love to say after every hole, all square.
But it happens so fast, you know. Well, boom, boom, boom. I want to finish, but I want to talk about that. I thought this was funny.
Oh, they ought to just do like us, automatic good.
Gonzalo Fernandez Castano, he was seen that Kramer Hickok credited a text from Jordan Spieth as the reason why he made his first cut on the PGA Tour. The Spaniard's Castano said, he tweeted, Jordan, he said, hey, Jordan, can you please text me? I'm kind of urgent. I haven't played a full weekend since May.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny that they would, Jordan and them would text back and forth a lesson. Oh. You know, do this, do that. Yeah. You're not doing this right. That amazes me in itself.
Well, it is a big family out there,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, sure is.
But I want to end on a kind of a somber note and just ask everybody in the golf world to keep in your prayers. PGA Tour player Jared Lyle, he's facing his third fight against leukemia after being diagnosed back in native Australia. He's 35 years old. He's begun chemotherapy at Royal Melbourne again after contracting the disease he beat twice. But he has remained positive, and just again, we ask for your prayers for Jared Lyle.
All right, thanks for tuning in. We got Louisiana Network News up next.
KANE Radio, AM 1240, New Iberia, the voice of the Tesh.